Welcome to Live's a Pitch, the podcast where we pitch the best films that'll never get made. I'm Matt Turner.
And I'm Tom McGrath. And the game goes like this. We ask you, our devoted listeners, to come up with titles that you'd like to hear us pitch.
We then collaborate, coming up with story points, casting, and even marketing strategies.
Without further ado, this week's title is...
My Fists Are Spiders.
My Fists Are Spiders.
Yes, that one given to us by Frank Margarella. Thanks, Frank.
Yeah. That sure is a pickle.
Yeah, it just seemed like a very painful time.
It does. Like, wow. I've got so many questions, but we'll save them for later. That other voice you can hear for our action movies special. Well, I say special. Like, they're all special in their own way. Like,
I'm very special, I'll have you know.
Adam Owen of the blog Adam Owen Likes to Watch.
Indeed.
Is here, and of course the Podteed podcast. How are you doing, Adam?
I'm doing very well, thank you very much. Thank you so much for having me on this show.
Oh, so this good. Let's get on with some honourable mentions. What do you say?
Yeah, we've got a few this week. One from Joseph Hegarty. We've got The Extendables.
Is it Stephen Merchant or not?
It's... Oh my god.
I feel like it's only really tall actors.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that as well. Tall actors. We've got Stephen Merchant. Yeah. We've got K2SO from Rogue One.
Because Alan Tudyk isn't big enough.
We just have to character again.
Who else is tall?
Not characters, is it? Oh, is it characters from other films?
No, just Stephen Merchant and the robot from Rogue One.
Who's the guy to get to be Aquaman? Because he's quite tall.
Oh, Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Who else is really tall? For some reason, I thought that Ewan McGregor was, but I'm not sure if that's true.
Why not? It's our podcast. We can make him tall.
He's a tall man in life. I think he's worthy of our appreciation.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Who else is tall?
Oh, yeah.
Looking at...
Who else is tall?
I can imagine... Right. I'm going to just Google tall actor.
I've done a Google. Famke Janssen. Woman who was Jean Grey once.
Right, I've put in actors tall, right?
Yeah.
Danny DeVito comes up, so I'm not really trusting this list.
That's because it just assumes that you're looking for Danny DeVito no matter what. No.
Every one of these actors is pretty tall, apart from Danny DeVito in this list.
Has he been put in by a prankster?
He's been... been put in by a prankster, or... just my Google search history is just like, did you mean Danny DeVito? which happens every time I make, I'm just sort of like I'm searching for like cowboy hat or something. It's like, did you mean Danny DeVito in cowboy hat? Yes! Yes, I did!
How did you know?
Thank you. Yeah, thank
if
you.
If I'm going to shop for a cowboy hat, I want to see how it looks on Danny DeVito first. Then I'll make my decision. We've got the Hound from Game of Thrones.
Vince Vaughn.
He's tall.
Yeah, I suppose.
Oh, what's his face? Other guy from Gav Mankerman. He's quite tall, isn't he?
Who else? We've got to have some women as well. Gwendolyn Christie.
Yeah. Who did I see? Uma Thurman, I looked. About 6 inches.
Oh, yeah, Uma Thurman, yeah, fair enough. But the thing is, how tall is Uma Thurman without shoes on? Asked Tarantino.
I want to see her without shoes on. why, Tarantino?
Just to make sure that you're tall enough for this film, The Extendables.
It's a Tarantino film about an alien invasion, right? And we, as a species, right, come together to make these tall actors, give them powers to extend their limbs.
I know. I feel like these aliens are sort of wiping out everyone who's
smaller.
Who's smaller than that.
Yeah, as in, this is a race of, on average, they are usually taller than most humans from race, from our race, and that's why we can't beat them, because they are just a little bit taller than us.
Yeah, well, that's it. Perfect, right? So, open on, let's say, Uma Thurman. She's doing her daily rounds in her job.
She's a doctor doing the rounds.
She's doing the rounds. Yeah, she's a doctor doing the rounds, right? And then
she's looking at
suddenly
all these...
there's a in the background in the ward on a TV. There's the news is on, and it says strange weather systems are rolling in out across the world.
Oh, I've got it.
That is only chest to shoulder high on some people, but others, it's above their head. Oh. It's about 6 feet high, this fog, and never goes any higher. and when it eventually turns up, people start dying. But only the people whose head isn't above it. So it's like that Spider-Man game, where there's just you swing low enough and you just get murdered by the death fog. Completely like ignoring the fact that like this terrorist attack, where they've just turned the streets into deadly poison gas, has killed most of the city.
And the military, right, gets all these tall actors.
Yeah.
And K2SO from Rogue One.
See, here's what I'm thinking of, like, because there's still going to be tall people about, the aliens have invented weapons that can shrink people.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking of who can be the grizzled, person to train them into... like soldiers, and it has to be an actor who says, "I was tall once, but I faced off against them."
It's Arnie.
It's Arnie, but he's not got any legs. He
has to sort of look like a baby, really much, but with his regular face. I was once the tallest man in the world. Could I lose? But the aliens destroyed my height.
But now I have a baby body. Now I have a baby body, and my head is the regular size. Look at me!
And now
look
I can.
What they did!
I'm like a bobblehead.
I'm like a bobblehead,
and I can only live in a skyscraper.
He walks through the military base, sort of like trying to keep his head like
he
balanced, like he as he's toddling
walk.
Around.
He waddles.
Waddling around.
Three steps to the side, three steps to the other side, like, and you just kind of like from side
as he's,
to side.
As he's talking to him, he's like, "Come with me. I will show you the place to go." Like, his head's just wobbling from side to side, like and as his body's trying to sort of keep it upright and balanced. And basically, this team of really tall actors...
Well, they managed to reverse engineer one of the aliens' shrinky guns to extend them. They spliced the genes into these tall actors, and that robot from Rogue One.
It's kind of like the end of a Power Rangers episode.
Yeah. Kind of, except no, it's more like BFG. They're like they got big lanky legs. And they go striding over the hillsides. It's set in Scotland. This is like, you know, kind of the Highlands. They're all they're all on the Highlands, and they're sort of surrounded by this fog, this Scotch mist that's taken the lowlands. But this one military base is left on the with Arnie in it. Is left on top of a hill. And he's like, "I cannot leave. It's too deep out there."
He does... The mist creeps into the base, and that's when he dies. He's like, "Go! Yeah. Extend your limbs! Destroy them!"
So but it becomes sir, like a... it's not tested.
Do, it.
Do it now.
Just do it. Chance.
Do it now.
So yeah, but they end up just sort of playing frisbee with the flying saucers. That's how they defeat them.
Well, what happens when the aliens start like blasting them with the shrinky guns?
They're too big. They're too big to hurt.
Yeah, I think Stephen Merchant gets his arm blasted with one of the baby guns, right? And his arm shrinks into that of a baby.
He's a giant man with like the arm of a like tiny baby little arm. Baby arm.
Yeah.
That is like that. It's basically like half of a toothpick sticking out of his like shoulder.
And he's like, oh bloody bugger! I can't believe that's happened.
Can't play frisbee. That's the only bad thing that happens to these guys.
Uma Thurman's like, he can't play frisbee anymore.
No.
Sorry, Stephen, you're out.
And then
he just walks home. And then Uma Thurman's like, we'll never forget the sacrifice that Stephen Merchant made for us. And we never see him again.
As they defeat the rest of the aliens.
Yeah, they throw the frisbee UFO into space, and then they just walk home.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. We're left with, like, not regular-sized people anymore. We're just left with, like, 8 giant people left to populate the world.
With even more giant people with gangly arms and legs and all that.
Yeah.
Apart from Stephen Merchant, who's got one baby arm.
Yeah, but
well, no, I think the thing is that it starts spreading, right? And this is like a comedy beat, like because Uma Thurman puts him in the top pocket of her lab coat, because she's a doctor, and she's like, "Don't worry, I'll look after you when you're a baby." And he's like, "All right, well, at least I get to live an extended lifespan." And then that's it. That's the end.
Credits. Oh, the last thing we see in his face is just a close-up on his face. I'm happy
nestled
with that.
Nestled in a top pocket of a lab coat of this giant Uma Thurman.
Credits roll.
What song?
Short People Got No Reason to Live.
By Randy Newman, yes. Yes. From Liam McGrath, my brother, we've got Monopoly, like the board game.
Monopoly, right.
Monopoly.
Wow.
Hmm.
I'm surprised they haven't made this, or have they, and it just flopped. And I didn't hear
Ridley
about
Scott
it.
Wants to make it.
Oh! Okay. We talked about that. I remember us having a conversation about, like, I looked it up and it was like, yeah, Ridley Scott wants to make Monopoly film.
Why? Surely nobody actually enjoys that game.
No.
They enjoy spending time with it. I understand that they enjoy spending time generating conflict with their loved ones, but I don't think anyone actually enjoys the game.
Right.
Well, that's going to be the conflict of the film, because this is an action film. This isn't going to be a peaceful... Like, just regular argument between family members over who owns the most hotels.
Have you ever seen the film Mr. and Mrs. Smith? How that is a film about...
spies set around two
hitmen
Who
married. Yeah. Imagine that, but as a family. So no one knows...
Others are tycoons, are property tycoons.
No. No one knows, right? The rest of them are dangerous hitmen.
Dangerous Illuminati hitmen.
Yeah, so we've got... And they're all sat around playing Monopoly.
Right.
You know how infuriating that game can get when you're playing it with your family at Christmas time? It's a Christmas film. It's a Christmas film, right?
There'll be a bit where the dad offers to give you a bit more money so that you can stay in the game because Auntie Janie has taken away all your fucking hotels.
So yeah, like this family, the dad, like sort of like classic sort of suburban home, like mum, dad, brother and sister. The dad played by, let's say,
John Goodman.
John Goodman, yeah. John Goodman. The mum played by Jennifer Lawrence.
Yep, yep. That sounds about right.
Yeah, Jennifer Lawrence. You know who Jennifer Lawrence is, Matt.
I'll never find out.
And the daughter, Elle Fanning, and the son,
Tom Holland.
Yes.
In his Spider-Man outfit.
He's wearing Spider. Yeah, like
no, yeah.
It's a little
Spider-Man,
nod.
It's dungarees. He's wearing Spider-Man bottoms and then just like red webbing dungarees, and then with just like a blue T-shirt on underneath. That's his costume.
That sounds alright.
He's got a Spider-Man onesie on that he got for Christmas. It's all very sort of Home Alone-y, and the dad says, John Goodman sound like? You want to play Monopoly? And they're all like, yeah! Woo! That's a great idea, Dad! And
were they sedated before this?
They're all pissed off their faces. It's Christmas.
Too much eggnog.
Yeah, and sit around playing Monopoly, and like it sort of like keeps flashing back to, well, like maybe we don't open the film and it's Christmas. Maybe it's like John Goodman doing a hit on someone.
Yeah,
and then sort of setting this up so it's like that we all see what they do and that they all like kill each other. That they all kill people for a living. Basically, they're all super spy. Secret agent killers, and they don't know it.
Right, how is this going to play into the Monopoly game?
Right, well, they play Monopoly.
Yeah.
Right. And name something that like happens in Monopoly that makes you really angry.
You have won second prize in a beauty contest, and I'm like, fuck you, first.
I'm thinking... You have like one of the three properties and you need one more in order to get the whole board, but John Goodman has that one and he's not trading it unless you give him pretty much all your train tracks.
Park Lane or whatever.
Yeah, it's like
whatever the American version of that is.
So Tom Holland and
the purple ones.
Tom Holland and John Goodman are having this conversation like, Dad, give me the other property so I can build some fucking houses. And John Goodman's like, haha, no. And then Tom Holland pulls out a gun and just points at him. He's like, give me the fucking property. And then it's like, shit's about to go down. Really tense stuff.
It has to do that slow-mo spit like Zack Snyder likes to do, where everyone's like very slowly grabbing guns.
Yeah, like Jennifer Lawrence pulls out another gun and goes, "Don't talk to your father that way."
Ellie Fanning grabs his axe and says, "I have an axe now."
see, this is, I'm having trouble with this for one reason, right? Mm-hmm. I think there needs to be an external force, whether or not it's John Goodman and he's like, "We're going to play Monopoly, whether you like it or not."
No, it's Grandma, played by Angela Lansbury. Who and offered to be the banker and well, just yeah, manipulating yeah, yes. the whole thing.
Angela Lansbury, yeah, no, she knows that they're all assassins, right?
And
she
wants
them.
She
knows everything.
She's, like, working for the mob who they've been sort of killing loads of people for. It's like, we've got to get these guys. And they're all part of the family. Do they know it? And Angela Lansbury's like, no, they do. Maggie Smith. I'm just getting Angela Lansbury and Maggie Smith.
I feel like Angela Lansbury is probably she's trying to get the family. She knows they're all hitmen, and they've all been coming to blows. They're kind of estranged to the family, right?
Yeah.
But she manages. She books them all on a contract to kill this one target, and when they all turn up to kill this one target. the door in this house, the doors all lock. And she's
and there's
like,
just a game of Monopoly.
Yeah, in the centre. Yeah. She's like, we're going to get this family back together and do this for one last thing. And she's like devised these ways to keep them in, and they keep trying to escape, and that's where the action thing comes from. And they all naturally hate each other because they've all worked for different people and killed each other's targets and all that kind of thing.
Mm.
And then and the kids hate John Goodman for bringing them into this world, like the only because he brought them up. He brought them up as assassins. They get flashbacks during the Monopoly.
And Jennifer Lawrence is angry. Jennifer Lawrence is angry because she only just got the repairs card, which means she has to pay repairs in all her hotels.
Jennifer Lawrence is the only one who's actually into the game.
Yeah, as in... she's constantly on Angela Lansbury's tits over the whole... I don't think you're counting that up, right? Wait a minute, why are you giving him 200?
Like, that's all she cares. Stepmom, so she's just sort of like into the game, but also like sort of like I need to keep out of this. They're fighting with their dad, and then Angela Lansbury sort of pushes her into it. They over time, like there's loads and tons of action scenes that they all sort of like ally with each other at some point. And they just completely obliterate this house that they're in. At the end of the film, they're sort of all sat out in the snow. And stood out in the snow, sort of like in a Mexican standoff situation. And sort of John Goodman goes, come on, guys. It's Christmas. And cut to credits. With the Home Alone theme song playing.
I was going to go that, like, they'd all corner, like, they'd set aside their differences and corner Angela Lansbury for keeping them in this house, right? And then she's like, I just wanted to see the family together again because I just wanted to see the family together again because I'm dying. And because she... They're all like, what? Why didn't you just say? And she's like, you'd never have come together to be a family again.
But look at you. You're all mindless killers.
There has to be a point by which she's going to have to make the obvious joke of, when I pass go, I won't collect £200. I'll be dead.
go in this instance being used as a sort of inference of dying.
And John Goodman's like, yeah, we get it. But he didn't laugh. Yeah, we know. But can we move along, please?
It wasn't funny.
We're kind of shocked that you're dying, Grandma. Really.
And so, well, John Goodman's like, you know, I swear to you, Angela Lansbury's character, that from now on things will change. From now on, this family only kills together.
And Angela Lansbury's like, well, I suppose.
That's all I could ask for.
Swings and roundabouts, I guess.
Oh, well.
The next one. Just leave that one right there. So yeah, thanks everyone for your titles this week. If you'd like to give us titles any time of the week, or just get in touch with us, really. You can find us on facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast, and on Twitter @ Life's a Pitch show as well. Just give us messages there. Or you can find us on Instagram as well. That's where all the posters are that we do for the show, if you'd like to look at them. We do posters for every main title we pitch. Yeah, that's on.
They are good to look at. They are dead good to look at. You should do it.
What's the Instagram address, Matt?
That's Life's a Pitch Show.
Yeah, @ Life's a Pitch Show again for Instagram. So yeah, just find us there.
Of course, don't forget to tune in every week. Come back. You can follow us on soundcloud.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast. If you want to get every... We release two episodes a week, one main episode, and the other one is deleted scenes. Don't forget to watch those. Last week's deleted scenes was the extras from both our last episode, the quiz that we did for our 100th episode, and our last episode with Demon Tomato Dave, which they were all very funny. The last week's, I believe, has T-Rexes in it.
Yeah.
In which we outline a world in which... Should I not... What?
I'm thinking of T-Rexes. Ah! A world in which, where you think of a T-Rex, they appear. Which made Jurassic Park the most impossible task ever undertaken by man. The main episode's on every Wednesday and the deleted scenes on every Monday.
Don't forget to grab those. And if you do like them, if you do like what you're listening to, then don't forget to give us a 5-star rating wherever you are, iTunes, any podcast app. Or indeed, reviewers. They do genuinely help. Honestly, if you write a little nice little note and then tell everyone that you like the thing, it does help us in the long run.
I mean, like, write it right now if you want. You can do that. Give us a review right now.
Just write it on your forehead.
Yeah.
And then walk around with it all day.
Other ways to share it include, like, I mean, you can go to a party and say, listen to this podcast right now. Exclude yourself from the rest of the party. Go listen to this podcast. That's what you do to friends that you meet.
You go to a party, right? You go and you look at the guy who's, you know, the guy, you know, that guy who's always standing by the speakers and he's like changing the track every 3 minutes. And then someone comes up to him and says, oh, can we listen to Dancing Queen? And he's like, no, it's not cool. And then you're like, oh.
And you're like, you know what is cool? The Life's a Pitch podcast.
And
put it on.
You punch him in the neck. Punch him in the neck. And then he falls over and he's like, oh, I was wrong all along. Yeah. And then you plug in your iPod / phone with this episode on. And then you press play. And then everyone turns around to you and says, thanks.
You're the coolest cat at the party.
Yep. That's how that happens.
You know what?
I've heard.
You're welcome. Right, so on with our main pitch this week. My fists are spiders.
They sure are.
Yeah.
I've got some questions. Number one. Are they made of spiders, like lots of spiders? Are they metaphorically spiders in that they are grippy and dangerous, or are they just two big spiders on the end of like your wrists?
Like I'm picturing the last. Picturing like instead of a hand, you just have a big spider with a big face on it.
Like I like the idea that someone's just got these melty hands made of like hundreds of spiders.
Yeah,
like they're just sort of like flopping all around, and then if they wave. Sort of thing, you're flying around
throwing spiders
at the end. You're like, oh my god!
Like the the nanobots from Big Hero 6. Just sort of all over the... Just like made a tiny little... the little cave from the Temple of Doom. You know, where it's just insects all over the place. So you can't tell whether it's floor you're standing on or insects. It's... Mm-hmm. Yeah, like just all these spiders. I'm quite liking the last one, really. The spiders being
the two big spiders,
giant, like each finger being like a spider's leg.
Okay, but so we need. Okay, let's establish, right? So establishing shot. Adam, where's this set?
Well, I think it should start off in an office, like just some. It's a regular every person.
He's a typist. He's a typist for a law firm.
But it has to be some sort of sciencey stuff involved, because I think at some point,
or she,
something's going to have to like happen to his hands,
or her
hands. No. I suppose that's entirely correct.
Let's cast. I'm just going to put in popular
Christina Ricci.
Christina Ricci.
I can do that.
I'm thinking Christina Ricci is on her way back from the office. Like, she's having a normal day at the office, sort of, like, typing away on a computer and stuff. Then she goes out for lunch. On the way to the local coffee house, she gets mugged.
Right.
By a man. And knocked out, she wakes up in like an ambulance, and she's like, what happened? And then the paramedic's just like, don't whatever you do, don't look at your hands. And she's like, why not?
She gets mugged by from The Office and Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mackenzie Crook. I knew
Crook. He's a good mugger. If I was in an ambulance, I never have been, but touch wood, I never will need to. If they were to say, do not think about elephants, I'd have to think about elephants right then. If they said, do not look at your hands, it's not going to calm me down. I'm in an ambulance.
Don't look at your hands!
Okay, I've decided it's now the paramedic is Brendan Fraser. And the moment that she opens his eyes, it's just his close up is his face, and it's just don't look at your hands.
He's not calming at all, like I originally came up with. He's just like, don't look at your hands, don't look at him. And she's like, she looks down and her hands are just gone. Like, they're just like, there's just blood shooting everywhere, and he's like, like trying to bandage it up, like God knows why he's a paramedic.
See, I was expecting her to suddenly have spiders on her hands already, but somehow it's even better when this is just how he reacts.
Just blood out of her, like, her arms are just flicking around, like, ah, no, my hands are
and then, I told you not to look at your hands.
And then she's like, he manages to calm her down, right? And there's a sort of like screaming. And then he manages to calm her down. And
he starts bandaging her hands. How can he calm her down? He's screaming at her, don't look at your hands.
I don't know. He like straps her to the table and bandages her hands. And she's like, oh my God, what the hell? And he's like, I know, right?
He slides open the thing to the driver, and it's Kermit the Frog, and he goes, did she look at her hands? And he's like, yeah, she looked at her hands. And he's like, oh no, I thought you said not to look at her hands. He's like, yeah, she did it anyway.
And no,
Kermit's face, and it's a nightmare.
I have this idea that Brendan Fraser's like, I know, right? And then she's like, well, what am I going to do? And he's like, don't worry, I'm taking you to the hospital. And she's like, what do you mean I'm taking you to the hospital? Who's driving? And then he opens the slide, and he's like, oh, and then, like, they go off a cliff. Like, it's like...
And, like, as they're driving off a cliff, it slowly but surely, like, slowly fades out. Like, quite calmly fades out as this is happening.
Fade, so they've almost hit the ground before they even, like, they've almost hit the ground before the fade is faded to black. Like, it's that slow of a fade that genuinely nearly finishes the scene before...
She wakes up in the hospital, right, and it's Dr. McGovern. Dr. McGuffin, played by
Carrie Fisher.
Carrie Fisher is like, there was nothing we could do with your hands. they're still squirting blood all over the place, but there is an experimental procedure in the works.
We see this way back when she's being a typist for her hands, and there's an experimental thing that she's just put through. Her lawyer, her as in her boss, has been doing the defense for in a medical ethical case for it.
Yeah.
It's a genetic procedure where they've taken the genes from spiders because they're dexterous and tactile.
They have a lot of arms.
And are using them to help allow and to help human bodies accept transplants. Because normally you can't just transplant a hand onto a human body, right?
Yeah.
It would reject and you wouldn't be able to tie the nerves on. But if you use spider DNA, what happens is the brain accepts it faster because of the genes, the DNA genes, right?
Carrie Fisher, right, her son has also got two pet tarantulas that she can't stand.
Carrie Fisher will be just sort of like, I've been trying to prove the connection between people and spiders for years. And they all laughed at me.
So, and Christina Rich is like, yeah, anything to stop this incessant bleeding. And she's just like, it's a miracle she's still alive because she's lost way too much blood
from
to still
hands
be alive.
And then
yeah.
went off a cliff.
Yeah, and then went off a cliff.
Most of the blood that should be going into hands are going into Brendan Fraser right now. So
they're catching the blood that's coming out of her hands in a bucket, and it just funneled into Brendan Fraser. And he's like, and you just hear from the next room behind a curtain, sounds like the best chance you've got. he pulls the curtain back completely unscathed from the ambulance.
So and, they go into this operation, yeah. right, where Carrie Fisher sews on, very crudely, just sews on these two pet tarantulas to her hands. Don't worry about the DNA thing.
She sews on these hands. No, she sews on these hands, and then they grow into these two giant spiders. They use the DNA from the tarantulas, and she just grows them. Because... I don't know.
No.
Okay.
Sewing tarantulas on to her stumpy arms makes more sense.
Of course it does.
Yeah, because you can't... Right. Like, right, if you get spider DNA, right, inject it into you, right, spiders just don't grow on your butt. No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
You've got to have a spider first to then... Like,
Tom, I've done
merge
this myself.
Look, I know that Carrie Fisher was laughed out of the top medical universities on her thesis on the relationship between spiders and humans, but this is the only chance she's got.
Dr. MacGuffin is... You
that
know,
and to get rid of the tarantulas her son has that she hates.
Plus, she has a dream... Christina Ricci has a dream of her boss... telling her, firing her because she can't type anymore.
Yeah, and, that's the big part, yeah.
And she's like, well, I need my typing job, and spiders have a lot of arms. I guess this is the only chance I've got.
So she's got these two spiders for arms, right? And then,
so
and
this
then
montage.
She sees of her learning to use the spiders.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Go ahead.
As in...
like. In this type is, and she's like the best typist ever now because she's got spiders for hands.
Yeah, and she also
and
like,
both spiders can talk.
She realizes also, yeah, one's played by Alan Tudyk.
Oh, neat.
King Candy impression. She wakes up from this operation where she sews the spiders on, and then the first thing that happens is she's like, okay, well, I think. It's time to wake up. I think the operation was a complete success. And he's like, I'll say!
But Carrie Fisher says, something happened that we did not expect. The spiders are thinking.
They took... Yeah, it wasn't just the spider DNA. You didn't just get the spider DNA. The spiders got your DNA. And so, like, they are part... The spiders are now part human as well. So they are each an aspect of Christina Ricci's personality. One is King Candy for no reason. It's her mania. her sort of like joy and excitement. And the other is played by what's her name out of oh god, things. She's all sarcastic and that. Plaza.
Aubrey Plaza,
that's the one.
Yeah.
So Aubrey Plaza. The other one is Aubrey Plaza, and she's real. She's like, oh, okay.
I guess
so
I'm
stuck here now, am I?
Wow, this is wonderful. While Christina Ricci does not say a word about the whole thing, she's just looking at these spiders.
She's just shocked.
What the?
Wow, you look like you haven't seen a spider on your arm before.
This is gonna be so much fun.
So I hear you're a typist.
Can't wait to get to work.
Gonna be banging on those keyboards with my big old spider arms.
My big old spider stompers. My big fuzzy stompers.
We're going to be surfing the wide web. Ha ha!
That's the other thing that in this montage, something happens to, because we've got to titillate our viewers because it's Christina Ricci and we are scumbag directors. So a bus goes past. She gets out of a car, out of a taxi, and her dress gets caught in it. And the taxi drives off, and then she's like, "Oh my god, I'm like half naked now because my dress is ripped." And then, but then the spiders are like, "Don't don't worry, we got you covered." And then they fire out of the wrists, but not like Spider-Man towards her, because that's the direction that these spiders are facing, right? Towards her, they shoot a load of webbing and create a brand new dress for her.
And he got one of them like, "Hey, I just made you a dress. It's covering all your boobs and stuff." And Christina Ricci's like, "Oh,
right." My mind went a completely different way. Right.
Right.
I said because the bus drove off.
Yeah.
Taxi. I was expecting King Candy to go, "Don't worry, we got you," and then and she does a handstand as the spiders bring it towards the bus.
I mean, that'll be another bit. That'll be another bit. She misses the bus to work. And then the spiders keep up with the
bus. Don't you worry, you don't need legs anymore. You got spiders.
So, like, this is an action film, right?
Well, at some point, she has to realise that Carrie Fisher. Sorry, you go.
Well, I was thinking that Mackenzie Crook has. The crook has carried on his spree of chopping people's hands off. He's a serial killer.
He wants hands because he attaches them to himself.
Yeah. Perfect. I've got this. Yeah, he steals hands, right? And he's a serial killer. He only kills people who he's chopped the hands off of first, right?
Yeah.
But he gets scared when he's attacking Christina Ricci. He gets spooked off by a spider on the wall. He's arachnophobic.
I just want I want King Candy to explain all these scenes to her. Just in his voice,
he is arachnophobic.
There's a spider on the ground network.
He doesn't like me very much.
They talk to the other spiders and find out that this one guy who chopped off her hands is arachnophobic.
Listen, before I became your hand, I talked to all these spiders. There's this guy chopping off hands.
She's like, I know him. He's the guy that mugged me of my hands. It's like, we should go to his house and kill him.
Aubrey Plaza's just like, I guess.
Only problem is that his house is, because he's arachnophobic, is at the top of a giant water spout.
Whoa. I don't know if you know this, but we don't like water that much.
We don't like spouts either. You should read the gospel of our Lord Incy Wincy.
Our Lord.
And then she says, who is this Incy Wincy you talk of? We must find him. Don't he may teach us how he survived.
He was the first. He was the first great spider.
But also,
he climbed up the water spout.
Legend has it he lives on a nearby mountain.
But what? Here's the thing. Incy Wincy is like the kung fu master who has mastered the water arts.
Well, that's the thing. Incy Wincy is actually a person with spider fangs.
No, I'm quite liking the idea that Incy Wincy is just a giant spider with like a Rambo bandana on.
No. Incy Wincy is a spider with human hands.
Yes. Who's
going to be playing this grand role of Incy Wincy?
It's got to be Willem Dafoe. I want it to be Willem
Dafoe. Don't
you worry,
kids.
I can imagine his voice coming out of a spider, and he's really threatening. He's like
a giant spider with like the grin of Willem Dafoe and eight different Willem Dafoe eyes. Just hey.
I know you think you're alone in all of this, but look at my hands.
No. Like, Incy is terrifying. Incy, like, they walk into this spider lair,
yeah.
Right? And Incy is, so he's been eating humans. Like, that's where he got his hands from. He's like, he's a terrifying person, but like, they have to get this information from him. They need his wisdom. So, because Incy, like, hates humans. He eats and hates humans, but he's like, he says, in one of his long monologues of exposition, he's not a bad guy, Incy. He's just not a nice guy.
He's morally dubious, like King Louis in the New Jungle Book. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. They need something from him. So it's but he's like, you know, back in the day, I was the greatest of all spiders. But the humans still kept me out of the water spout. You know how? They created the water spout with those hands. So I took them. I needed those hands to create a world of my own.
To create a weapon. I've made this gun that kills people who steals hands.
He's basically just a gun, and he's like
a grappling hook.
Take it.
Christina Ricci also wants to prove to Itsy Bitsy that spiders can be just as useful as hands without having to replace either. He's like, look at my hands. They are spiders. I can prove to you that I do not need hands anymore to defeat this. She's got a point there.
This is Aubrey Plaza's moment to be like, you know, you think that humans' hands are so great, but look how far we've come. You're nothing but a half-baked has-been, Itsy Bitsy. And then Willem Dafoe's like, it's true. he's about to eat them. He's about to eat Christina Ricci.
He gave up pretty quick, bro.
Wait, where's the action in this?
Well, she would have to fight several of Itsy Bitsy spider minions along the way.
Yeah, fair enough. To get in there, like it's
like there will be bits and pieces. Like I'm imagining an entire kung fu structure around how she uses the spiders.
Yeah, like, it's like the Tematoa fight in Moana.
Yeah.
Like you know, the spiders get up onto Itsy Bitsy's back. And they're like, and he's like grabbing them with his hands, with his human hands, these long spindly arms with just human hands on the end, just like grasping at her face. Mm. And he's like, I'm not happy with you.
I'm not particularly happy with you either. I haven't decided whether or not he sounds like King Candy or Wally Gator. You'll have to get back to me on this.
Or the Mad Hatter from Alice in Wonderland.
Well, so either way, it works well with my croaky throat, so you know.
So how does this film end, guys?
Well, they find they learn from Itty Bitsy. They figured out how to survive the water, but like he learned how to do with his hands.
Yeah.
So they can beat Mackenzie Crook up and kill him.
Mackenzie Crook has a base which has a giant moat around it with all his weapons.
But they find out that Mackenzie Crook is a billionaire.
What?
That's why he's never been caught as a serial killer, because he's a billionaire. who lives at the top of this giant water spout to keep spiders out, and also police. So
also police. We have to deal with the spiders first, but also it keeps the police out, which is a bonus for me. This actually fixed two problems at once. This works.
two spiders with one stone. Just
I want that to be one of the things. One of them shouts, "You think you've killed off two spiders with one stone, but there's two spiders you didn't reckon on."
So
one of
so
them Itsy sounds
Bitsy,
like Wally Gate.
I think maybe they even kill Itsy Bitsy, right?
Yeah.
And then they find at the back of his lair a workbench on which he's worked. The reason he was able to get back up the water spout was because he had a grappling hook that he made with his human hands.
Then Aubrey Plaza is like, with our powers combined, we can use this to get anywhere. And then, I don't know.
And Christine, then they assault Mackenzie Crook's base, the three of them together.
And kill him. Just like, they knock on the door, he opens up, bang.
And then he's like, how did you get past the moat? And then they're like, and then Christina Ricci was like, I learned a valuable lesson that sometimes two spiders are better than two hands. And there's no other explanation as to how she got past the moat. That is it.
There.
I guess she was right. Two spiders can be better than two hands.
And I think maybe they don't kill him. They knock him out. But and they're like, oh, we should. Aubrey Plaza's like, oh, we should probably restrain him. And Christina Ricci's like, yeah, but I can't fire like webs out like Spider-Man. I can't like wrap him up. And he's like, don't worry, we got you covered. And then they cover Christina Ricci in silk completely, like a big cocoon. And then they're like, now wriggle out! And then she wriggles out at the end. This is like all just part of the climax of the film. Still, the orchestral score is still sort of pumping. And they're like, now wriggle out! And she wriggles out of this cocoon. And then they're like, okay, now put him in it.
Throw it in the moat.
I was wondering at some point they're going to explain why they didn't just cocoon him right there and then.
Because they can't. That's the thing.
Can she only do it on spinners. Herself?
Yeah, the silk spinners are pointed towards her so that the spiders can see forwards. The silk spinners are on her wrists.
I guess.
So yeah, so, like, they have to. They can only do it to her.
Now just throw him in
the
moat.
That's how the film ends.
That's how the film ends.
Throwing... She's like, you see, it's a close-up of Christina Ricci, and she's, like, got this cocoon held above her head. And, and then just as she's about to throw him off the cliff, an arm pierces the cocoon and grabs her by the ankle, and she's like, oh no, I don't have spiders for feet. And he's like, oh, I'm gonna get you, says Mackenzie Crook inside this cocoon.
Half a cocoon, let's not forget. She had to get out of there somehow.
Yeah, inside this half a cocoon, and he's like grabbing her ankle. And then she's like, oh, what can I do? Because she's hanging onto the edge of this cliff. And then she, like, starts kicking and kicking and kicking. He's like, no! My hands, they're slipping! They're not sticky and able to and multidextrous, and I've got too few fingers. I'm not gonna make it to climb back up again. And then, I don't know, she either just kicks him off or they extend a web, a single strand down, and he learns to be a better person. One of the two. I don't care. Credits. Okay.
Yeah, so that was My Fists Are Spiders, starring Christina Ricci.
As a woman with spiders. And it was
who talks twice.
Who says two things in the film, yeah.
Most of those things involve repeating to the audience, these are, like, I have spiders instead of hands now.
Yeah, directly to the audience. But right, one of those two things is to a woman about something other than a man.
Yeah.
So, you're
so it passes the Bechdel. Oh, that's all right.
Yeah. My Fist of Spiders passes the Bechdel test. Get this film made. Films like this are important.
Yeah. Yeah, it's we need this to happen. You know, it's I think it's part of our social duty to make sure films like this get made.
So yeah, if you want to hear more films like this get pitched and hopefully get made, you can find more of our episodes on soundcloud.com/Life's a Pitch podcast and on iTunes, Acast, and basically any podcast app where you can just plug in an RSS feed. You can find the RSS feed. Where can you find the RSS feed, Matt?
You can go to facebook.com/Life's a Pitch podcast, where you can find a lot of stuff, really. You can find our posts pretty much every day about stuff we find. You can see some cool posters that Tom has made about the films every week. You can just talk to us. You can tell us what you thought of the episode or what you think the next title should be. You can even make suggestions for genres if you really like. Yeah, just go over there, go over to Twitter at Life's a Pitch Show, go over to Instagram at Life's a Pitch Show again. Talk to us, let us know how you feel about stuff, and let us know what you'd like to see in the future. So, Adam, where can people find you online? Thank you for coming on the show again.
That's all right. I guess they can find me on my Twitter at AdamOwenFTW, just if they want to hear me, I don't know, talk about Nintendo or something.
Nintendo, movies, and life in movie theatre town.
Oh, yeah, as in they can just find out that they can find my blog, which I don't really update as much anymore, but I'm looking to do a lot more stuff in the future, very near future even. And there's always podtea.com. I guess that's a thing.
Yeah, podtea.com, the podcast you're on, and what is it, Adam Owen Likes to Watch the...
Yeah.
Is there an address for that?
I think it's adamlikestowatch.wordpress.com.
Awesome, 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 awesome. Well, thank you again for coming on, and we'll hope to have you back in future. Until next time, I've been Matt Turner.
I've been Tom McGrath.
My name's Adam Owen.
And we've been Lives of Pitch. Remember who pitched it.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.